I want to invite you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Luke chapter 24. I want to share with you today a curious and interesting story that occurred right after, and literally right after, the actual resurrection of Jesus. But to set the stage, we need to remind ourselves again of what happened on that Easter Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the grave. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who were with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself all that had happened." It is amazing to read that account. And if you've had any interest in history of reading the Bible, you know that at some level that story is true, and you're familiar with the story of Jesus and the resurrection. But it's important for us to read it in the moment and realize that they did not have any context. They did not have any history. They did not have any frame of reference for a resurrection. Only what Jesus had told them. And yet, line after line, as I read through that passage of Scripture, there is testimony after testimony of the fact that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. That Jesus is risen. There are angels standing around the tomb that are declaring that Jesus is risen. The women went into the tomb. They went inside the tomb. Peter arose and went to the tomb and saw that he was not there. He was risen. Now understand in the context of that, they'd never seen that before. But you would think, and I don't want to judge them too harshly with this next statement because I'm not there as well. But you would think by the time that they hear layer and layer and layer and layer of empty tomb, that they would begin to think that Jesus actually did what he said he was going to do. And yet it was still not quite clear. Which leads me to find it curious that we pick up the story with two guys leaving the scene of the event right after the discovery that Jesus is no longer in his tomb, leaving the scene of the event to go home, to go back to Emmaus, to take the 7-mile walk, I'm trying to figure out how long it'd take to walk 7 miles on a rocky trail, 2 or 3 hours of time, 2 or 3 hours of walk. It would be an effort that immediately after hearing that there's no Jesus in the tomb, that the women have testified of that, that Peter has testified to that, the others have testified to that, that these two guys would say, "Well, guys, I think it's just time to go on home." If it were me, I think I'd want to linger around just a little bit longer to see what's really happened. But I wasn't these two guys. And so we find them in the story just simply going home. And here's where the story picks up. In 13, it says, "Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." All of the things. What are they talking about here? Well, they're talking about the preparation for Jesus to go to the cross. They're talking about all of the activity related to Jesus going to the cross, all of the trials, all of the mocking, all of the beating, all of the garden experience. Later we'll see that they even knew about the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. They were close followers of Jesus. And so as they have heard that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, have not verified yet that Jesus is alive, as they're walking on their way home, they are talking about all these things that happened over the weekend. In one way, when you read it, it's almost like you and I might have a conversation about our weekend, but it seems like the things that we talk about over the weekend pale in comparison to the activity that they must have been talking about over the week. Well, how was your weekend? Well, you know, we cleaned out this on Saturday. We went hunting on Friday afternoon. We, you know, just benign things, simple things. You know, we enjoyed seeing our family. Well, these guys are talking about the activities of Passion Week. They're talking about, with a bird's eye view and an experiential view, they're talking about the events of the most important week in Jesus and in our life as they're going home. And so while it was that they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now I find this incredibly curious as well. And I think it says a lot about the character of Jesus. One of the motivations of Jesus, we know, when he met these two guys on the road to Emmaus, was to give another account, another proof that Jesus was alive. But of all the people that he could have been with, why did he choose to take a 7-mile walk and be with them? I don't really know the answer. I just find that it's curious that Jesus all of a sudden was walking with them. I mean, did he run and catch up to them? Did he just appear out of nowhere? Did they turn around a corner and there he was behind a rock? But all of a sudden he was with them and they are just now walking along with Jesus. But as they're walking along with Jesus, somehow Jesus was restrained from them knowing who he was. Now, how did that happen? Well, I think part of the answer lies with them. I think part of the answer lies with the fact that they left the scene of the most incredible event that had ever happened on the face of the planet, the resurrection of Jesus, without verifying that it actually had occurred. I think it partly had to do with them. They were simply not living in a reality that Jesus could be alive. I think part of it had to do with Jesus. I think part of it was that he was in some way able to conceal his identity or shade himself. Potentially, some would suggest that because he had a resurrected life and a resurrected body, he looked a little different. He might have sounded spiritual. He might have sounded like a learned teacher, but they did not know it was him in some way. And so they just kept walking together. But their eyes were restrained. Verse 17, and he said to them, set them up. I love this. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk along and are sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, oh, if he could have taken back these words. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, this reveals their knowledge of Jesus. They said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Cleopas had all of the facts right. I mean, he knew. He had all of the history of what had happened in the last 3 days right. And in order with accuracy, and we have to know that he either had an eyewitness account of everything that had occurred, or certainly a secondhand account that was accurate. He was keeping up with the tracking of Jesus. He was keeping up at all that he had gone through. He had all of his facts straight. You know, you think about it today, and you think that there, and recognize that there are a lot of people that live in our world that have the facts straight. They know the story. This is not an unfamiliar story to many. And yet they were walking away from the scene of the most important event that had ever and could ever happen on the face of the planet. They had all their facts straight, but they lacked an experience of faith. You see, it's one thing to have all the facts about the Word of God clearly put into our minds. It's another thing entirely to allow the words of fact to inculcate into our heart and become matter of faith. Jesus said He was going to die. Jesus said He was going to be buried. Jesus said He was going to come back. Jesus said He was going to come back in 3 days. All of it, He said, had been occurring. They knew that it was the third day. They knew that He was no longer in the tomb. They knew that it was testified among many people that Jesus was no longer buried. They had all the facts straight. And yet, as they were walking away from the most important event that ever occurred on the face of the planet, they still had a lack of faith to believe that it could actually be true. We were hoping that He was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And so Jesus begins to teach, and He says this. Then, verse 25, then He said to them, O foolish one and slow of heart to believe, there it is, that word of faith, to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them all the things in the Scriptures concerning Himself. Now imagine for a moment that you have the opportunity to walk with Jesus and hear Him expound or teach or explain all the things in Scripture concerning Himself, beginning at Moses. Can you imagine that learning experience? Can you imagine Jesus weaving that red scarlet thread of the story of Christ all the way from Moses, all the way from the beginning, weaving and explaining through the prophecies of Jesus to come in the Old Testament, weaving through the stories in the gospel accounts that hadn't even been written yet, that yet were being lived out right in front of them with Jesus Himself, and to explain to them over. Can you imagine what the rest of that walk must have been like to listen to the lesson after lesson after lesson? I would suggest to you that the closer they got to their house, the slower they began to walk, because the teaching was so unbelievable and so complete and so historic, and so like no other teaching that they ever had, because after all, it was coming from Jesus Himself. It says then in verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone farther. I don't have any real answer for why He would do that. I just find it interesting that He would have gone farther. And I think potentially it was because He just kept on walking and they would potentially invite Him to come back and stay, because by this time they must have had a hunger for more of the teaching. They must have realized that this was not just any traveler walking to Emmaus. This was a special person that was teaching things that were tugging at and stirring up their heart. And so they invited Him to stay. They constrained Him, verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass that as He sat at the table with them, He took the bread, He blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Does that phraseology seem familiar to you? It's the same phrasing that Jesus Himself had used when He had instituted the Lord's Supper that we're going to share in just a moment. And there became a familiarity at the breaking of the bread. They began to recognize it was Jesus. And as soon as they recognized it was Jesus, He vanished in a way that only Jesus could do. And He left Cleopas and his friend there to ponder what to do. Well, they realized because they had had this walk, because they had had this exchange, they now had undeniable proof. They now had a testimony that Jesus was alive. And as best we can tell, late in the evening, into the night, and way into the darkness, they turned right back around and headed right back to Emmaus, right back from Emmaus to Jerusalem, with a testimony of what Jesus had done for them. And it says, they said to one another, verse 32, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Because they had been with Jesus, because they had experienced this incredible story that they continually were able to tell, because they had experienced the teaching from Jesus that nobody else with no other authority could have taught, because they had the revealing of Jesus in a personal way, they now had a testimony. They had moved from a place of having facts about Jesus in their head to having a faith experience in their heart. And the testimony of Jesus being alive resonated with them now and forevermore. I wonder today, as we read and study this story, as we hear about these facts of Jesus from Moses through all of the prophets until the present time, I wonder if we have our facts straight. And I wonder if we have the deep measure of faith that we're called to be about as we celebrate Jesus on this day. We're invited today to walk with the Lord.